Good morning. May the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of his Holy Spirit be with us here all this morning is my wish and prayer. Amen. It's a joy to be here today morning again and having fellowship with one another, and it's a praiseworthy item to God. This morning, Sunday school students, I see there's a few of you here today. What do you see on the wall here? There's a verse from the Bible, isn't there? I'm sure sitting in church a number of times, you can read these verses. And this verse is some that you could sit here every Sunday and you can look at it and you read it and read it again and get it memorized, right? And a beautiful verse. A verse to remind us of, you know, seeking someone important. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is that what we're doing? Is that our desire? I'm talking from young to old. Is that our desire to seek that kingdom? Do we want that kingdom within us? Jesus Christ is part of that kingdom, and he wants to be within us. This morning, my wish and prayer is that we are come here to get that kingdom, or if we haven't received it, to open our hearts to receive that kingdom. And if we have received him, to just find that kingdom being increased or multiplied or strengthened within us. That is my wish and prayer for all of us this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you, the Almighty One, the All-Knowing One, the One that is present everywhere. God, we thank you for this morning opportunity to gather here again in fellowship. I thank you for those that want to this morning again lead us in song. Bless their souls and their hearts for it. Bless them with a voice. God, I thank you also for the two young candidates that are now showing it openly that they've accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, into their heart as Lord and Savior. And now coming forward, answering catechism, so on, but mostly desiring the baptism. Thank you for that. Thank you for touching them. For it's your Spirit that led them to that, and we praise you and glorify you for that. Lord God, pray this morning that you would be with us and just in a very special way, again, move your Spirit within us so we can be strengthened by your word and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Higher Ground, number 262 in a blue hymnal.
Upper grade, new heights I'm gaining.
Burdens are lifted, number 203. Send the light, number 447.
Sometimes raining, yard and rest. jewels for a crown of love. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Thank you for leading those songs. And I could touch on all the songs, I know that, and there's always such a message in songs, aren't there? I just love the messages that come out of the songs. And who had thought as a writer back then that we would still be singing them today? And that we would today still get a message out of them so powerfully? Well, I believe that the Spirit spoke to them so powerfully, they couldn't help but writing these down and bringing a melody to it. And then it was handed down, and God knew it was going to speak to us just as well. And that's so beautiful, so beautiful. Send the light. Jesus is that light. He has been sent. He is still there waiting for many people to accept him. And praise the Lord, there's two that are showing that, as I mentioned in the beginning of the message. Praise the Lord for that. As I shared to start off, the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what is the most important in our life? What do we desire? Oh, my most important is getting up Monday morning to go to work because I have a new truck. I don't, but I'm just using an example, okay? I have a new truck on order, and I want to get that truck. I desire to have the truck to drive around, and oh, look what I'm driving. I'm not going to mention the brand name of the vehicle because we differ there. But you know, that's worldly. But do I actually desire to get up Monday morning and putting on that light again that I took Sunday morning and during the week to carry the light with me, being proud of who Jesus is? Is that my desire? Or is my desire the earthly things? I have to say, when I was younger, yes. I'll be honest, and I think you can understand with me. As we're younger, there's the desires of the worldly things. That we would love to have this, we would love to have that. And as I know one of them, they're engaged. They desire to be married, for an example. There's desires in our life that we have. But is our greatest desire to do that? Is our greatest desire to seek that first before anything else? My wish is that that may be with us. My wish is, if there is some that don't have that, and there are those listening that don't desire that first, my prayer and my wish is that God would, with his Spirit, touch you, move you, motivate you to desire that first. This morning, I want to go into the catechism, questions and answers, and if we have time at the end, I want to continue with a bit of a message. And so we're going to start here with catechism, so if you could give them some mics, that would be appreciated. We're going to start off in page 3. It's called Introduction. Introduction to, we could say to God's Word, but it's also an introduction to the one who wrote the catechism. And so I would ask you, as baptism candidates, to please stand. We're going to go through these, and if I'll ask you to, Ronnie, to answer first, and then Heather second, and we'll just go back and forth like that, okay? But before we start, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, as we go through these words, these questions, and these answers that we are about to ask and about to answer here, Lord, there's a very interesting question that comes first. And what is our chief aim? Today, my wish and prayers as we go through these that we will desire a bigger aim and a bigger chief, a bigger growth or closeness with you, O God. So that when we live our life, we may live it in such a way that we are light. Bless this time. And as these baptism candidates answer them, I know it's standing in the front and it's being nervous. I've been there. I understand. But Lord, I pray you that just give them calmness. Just overshadow them with your peace. And let them answer these questions and just grasp these answers as they answer them. And not just them, but also everyone that listens, that is joining us in with this on live stream or here. Lord, may we just be touched by the things that we share. In Jesus' name, amen. So introduction, question. What should be our chief aim in this life?
To live in God's fellowship and grace, enjoy his favor, and obtain eternal happiness hereafter.
Must we provide for the needs of the body?
Yes, but in a Christian manner, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Up there, isn't it? What is the kingdom of God?
At the present time, it is within all believers in its essential quality, our righteousness, peace, joy, and Holy Spirit. It is the coming universe kingdom of righteousness under Christ.
How do we become members of the kingdom?
By faith in God and Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Is it enough to profess faith with the mouth only?
No, faith must work by love.
Very, very good answers. And if we understood those answers and take them to heart, to desire the kingdom of God first, and having that faith in us, that love can work through us. Part 1, the creation, chapter 1. God, the creator of all things. Who created all things?
God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Okay. So who is God?
The one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Now, we get that? How can we know that there is a God?
Nature, the conscience, and the testimony of the Holy Scriptures teach us that there is a God.
So I want to add to that, ask, so how do we find that out, who this God is? Just my own question. Open the Word of God. Read the Word of God. The knowledge of God from nature, page 7. What does nature teach us how does nature teach us that there is a God?
All created things teach us there must necessarily be a God who created all things.
Mm-hmm. What testimony does Paul give on this subject?
He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
I had a conversation with my brother, Law, just this last week about how can we know that there is a God, and we talked about nature. And I didn't talk about this part that I'm saying now, but as I went home, I just thought to myself, would any of us ever thought of having an earth, and inside the earth, we would put salt in there, we put oil in there, that we could draw something from out of the ground that we need? I don't think any of us would have thought of that. But God did, and he put it there. What do the next part, the knowledge of God from the Holy Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say that God is?
That God is a spirit.
What additional testimony does it give of God?
That he is the one living God, eternal and unchangeable in his being, that he is unfathomable, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipotent, and omnipresent, that he is perfect in love, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, and that he is most gracious, benevolent, merciful, and long-suffering.
When you mentioned all these here, Heather, you mentioned all these different things that God is. That's not what the devil would say. The devil would turn it around and put everything in a negative way, saying that he is not perfect in love. He would say that he is not gracious. And he would just put that all to nothing, wouldn't he? But this is who God is. That's putting it in together as good a group as the writers could in this. Next one. Is this all the Scriptures have to say about God?
They say a great deal more about God as anyone can find for himself.
Mm-hmm. They can. There's a verse in John 5:39. It says, There, Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Sorry. He says, search in the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. You see, the Pharisees and scribes, they knew the old law. They knew the Old Testament. And Jesus was saying to them, ye search in them. You look in them. Now, if you would look far enough, you would find eternal life in them. But they didn't look to that part because they didn't see the Old Testament referring to Jesus Christ coming and so on. If they had really searched that properly and put Jesus Christ in there and understood that, they would have said, oh yeah, he's already prophesied. But they didn't read it that way. And so Jesus had to remind them. And so we need to also be reminded, search in the scriptures. So we, in them we have eternal life. We can find that. We can find what it says about him. The Holy Scriptures. What are we to understand by the Holy Scriptures?
The writings of the Old and New Testament, called the Bible.
Are these writings the Word of God?
They are. All Scriptures is given by inspirations of God.
Were they not written by the will of men?
No, holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Are the Scriptures the infallible truth?
They are, for all things therein foretold of Christ have been literally fulfilled.
Is it profitable for us to diligently, I'll say it again. Is it profitable for us diligently to read the Scriptures?
It is, for if we know the Holy Scriptures from childhood, they are able to make us wise unto salvation. But we must pray God for His Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding.
Very good answer. Think of it. When we read the Scriptures and we study it, we could just, or not even study it, just read it. It's like a storybook. But if we ask God to open it up, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us, it becomes more than a storybook. It becomes a real thing of a change. It makes us change, a desire to change life. Chapter 2, God revealed as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do the Scriptures further teach concerning God?
That God revealed himself therein as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
What do the Scriptures testify of God the Father?
That he is the true Father over all called children in heaven and earth, that he is the Father of all believers, and that he is, in a special manner, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What is said in the Scriptures of Christ, the Son of God?
That he is the true and only begotten Son of God.
Is Jesus Christ the Son of God from all eternity?
Yes, he was with the Father before the world was, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Is he also true God?
Yes, he is the true God in eternal life.
What do the Scriptures teach concerning the Holy Spirit?
That he is the true Holy Spirit, sent from the Father by the Son, thus coming from the Father and the Son.
Is the Holy Spirit also called God?
Yes, for when Ananias had lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter said, thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God.
Are then the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three gods?
No, there is only one God, for these three are one.
All three are important. They all have their position, but they are one. They serve and have the same identity, I guess we could say. Chapter 3, how the triune God created everything. By whom did God create all things?
He created all things by Jesus Christ, by who he also made the world.
Did the Holy Spirit also have a part in the work of God creation?
Yes, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
And how many days did God create all things?
In 6 days God made heaven and earth and all things, and rested on the seventh day and blessed and sanctified it.
Beyond our understanding, isn't it? How the whole earth could be made in such a couple of days, and it takes us weeks to build something. But that is a God that we serve. He is that powerful. He is that almighty. The creation of man. What did God create in his own image?
God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him.
How many human beings did God create in the beginning?
Only two, Adam and Eve. From then on, mankind has descended.
Out of what was Adam created?
Out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
How was Eve created?
The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of the ribs and made a woman from it and brought her unto him.
Where did the Lord God place our first parents, Adam and Eve?
In a garden in Eden.
So two were made at the beginning. You know, and I'm going to go into something here a little bit, but I get troubled when people say that when they can get married, they can get married. Two women can get married, or two men can get married. And Romans speaks about that very clearly, Romans chapter 1. And Jesus also said, from the beginning, he created one male and one female. That's two separate genders. That's not one gender. And God separated that there would be two different genders for a reason. And today, mankind wants to change everything that we can choose what gender we are. But God, from the beginning, already chose a gender. The first was a man, a male, and the second was a woman, female. They are to be kept separate, and God has chosen that for a reason and a purpose. And he created that so that he could bring forth more marriages. The creation of the angels. Are there also created beings in heaven?
Yes, the angels.
What are angels?
They are ministering spirits.
For what purpose did God create angels?
To praise and extol God and minister to the good of his children.
Did some of the angels rebel against God?
Yes, some left their habitation and are reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
What are they called?
Evil spirits or devils.
What is their nature and activity?
They are enemies of God and seek the eternal destruction of mankind.
And I bet we all know what that is. We know exactly the enemy of God. We know exactly who comes and wants to really turn us against God. That's the devil. And I believe you both understand it, and so do all us. We understand when the devil is attacking us, because he is the one that's enemy with God. And when you want to do the right thing and you want to serve and you want to do something out of love and you have in your mind that you're going to go out and now I'm going to do my best to just be a light. The next thing we find, there's an attack from the side. Don't do this, don't do that. And we have to ask ourselves, is there an enemy here that doesn't want me to shine for God? And possibly even for the two of you. Maybe there was a time we were thinking, I don't know if I want to get baptized. Or, I don't know if I want to commit myself to the Lord. Because now I have to give up some things. No. First thing is accepting the Lord. And then he works in us and through us as we give up sin. Chapter 4, God, the preserver and ruler of the world. Does God provide for his creatures?
Yes, he caused the grass to grow for the beasts and herbs for man. He gives food to all in his time, life and breath and all things.
Can anything live without God's care?
No, for if he takes away their breath, they perish.
Does God govern all things he created?
Yes, he governs the nation upon the earth and all, and he will reign forever and ever.
Can we understand God's care and government?
No, God's ways are past finding out, and his judgments are unsearchable.
What does all this teach us?
That we should trust God, our creator, preserver, and ruler, cast all our cares upon him, and seek his kingdom and righteousness, trusting that all things shall be added unto us.
So there's one thing we have to do first. We need to cast our cares upon him. We need to let go of those things that we try to carry with us, burden ourselves. We cast it on him, put it at his cross, at his feet, and then we seek this Jesus and the righteous things and a promise that the things will be added to us. We will get what we need. Part 2, the fall of man, the condition of man before the fall. What was man's condition in paradise?
It was glorious and highly blessed.
Was man created good?
Yes, God made man upright. He created man in his own image after his own likeness.
Wherein does man's likeness to God consist?
Man was created after God in righteousness and true holiness.
Did Adam and Eve continue in their blessed condition?
No, they sinned and fell away from God. They and all their prosperity.
Wow. They had to leave that glorious place. And for those, it's called paradise. And for those that have accepted Jesus Christ and follow in his footsteps and are a light for him and daily live by his grace, pushing away more sin and sin in their life. It's a continual thing to let go of sin. As we do that and we know that we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as Scripture teaches us, we can have eternal life with him. Back to that paradise, as Paul talks about it in Corinthians, in the second book of his Corinthians letter, one of the letters he writes that he saw the heaven, and later on he said he saw the paradise. Beautiful place. That's a place that I long to go. Do you? The fall of man. What sin against God did our parents, did our first parents commit?
In disobedience to God's command, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had forbidden when he said, "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die."
What induced them to commit this sin?
An evil spirit called the serpent deceived him.
Who is this evil spirit?
He is called the devil and Satan, who was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
How did Satan beguile Eve?
He said, "Ye shall not surely die, ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil."
Why did they so readily believe?
They became desirous to become wise and like God.
Oh, that devil. Sometimes you just feel like if you could just get a hold of him and just destroy him yourself. But we know we can't. But God is one that will destroy him. He will destroy him at the end. But in the meantime, he is out there trying to destroy so many. And he managed to even lure Adam and Eve into sin. And so he does today with us just as well. And we have to fight against that. We have to desire to go away, to turn our back, not to the mighty, I call the devil mighty, but rather to the almighty, which is God. He is the almighty one. The results of the fall. What were the results of Adam's disobedience?
Sin and death came into the world.
What do we understand by this death which came over Adam and his posterity?
The spiritual death of soul and physical death of body. The body must die and return unto dust, and man, prone to evil, has become guilty of eternal condemnation.
How did sin reveal itself in Adam's posterity?
All flesh had corrupted their way up on the earth, so that the Lord had to destroy them from the earth.
Is there anyone on earth without sin?
No, that which is born of flesh is flesh. No one is without sin except the Son of God who is conceived of the Holy Spirit.
What should this teach us?
From this we should learn that by nature we are prone to do evil and are children of wrath. And realizing our sinful condition, we should seek forgiveness through the grace and mercy of God. Mm-hmm.
The devil wants to come to us, and we talked about that in the chapter before a little bit, who he is. But the devil wants to come and wants to make us think that only I have sin. Only I am such a terrible person. Yes, we are born in sin. The flesh is part of born in sin. But when we accepted Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we become a child of God. And then we allow God's Holy Spirit to work through us and to have conquer victory over sin in our life. May that be something that you can find in your life. And don't look at me or anyone else around and say, "I wish I could be like him," or "I wish I could be like her. I wish I could be such a good person." Don't turn yourself to mankind, but turn your rather self to Jesus and say, I want to have his light shine through me. And then as he does the works through you, he will purify you. You may be seated. That is the first quarter of the catechism for this Sunday. And next Sunday, we will continue from page 29. As I started off, I spoke about Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. This took me a long time in my life to understand. It is not sin that has power over us, but when we've accepted Jesus Christ, we have grace that goes with us. And as we have the grace, we grow. In that grace, we find ourselves pushing away more and more sin. If I asked you to, if you had an opportunity to answer this here, and I asked each one and everyone here, before you got baptized, could you get rid of all your sin? And did you never serve sin anymore? No. We accept Jesus Christ. And as he works in us and through us, he washes us. And so the sin that's in us now does not have the power over us, but it's God's grace. And because of God's grace, it helps us to conquer sin. But law is there for a reason to tell us what is sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. I'm not saved by myself or by anyone else. I'm saved by grace. And it is a gift. But in order for me to get into that heaven, back into that paradise where Adam and Eve were sent out, I have to accept Jesus. I want to use a little illustration this morning for the Sunday school students. And all of us, as that goes, we're, I think, all Sunday school students, aren't we, in some way? We're all still learning. Just take that frame. And just kind of imagine, not those words in there necessarily, but just kind of imagine that we could see God in the middle of that frame. And we want to get inside. That frame on the outside is a very tall wall that none of us can fly over. We can't climb over. We can't get into there to eternity. Except a few ways. Around the outside is a fence. And I'll just say, for an example, that there is one spot. There's an opening that is just narrow enough that you and I, one person at a time, can get into. There is no big gate. There is no such thing as me going and saying, the Somerfeld Church, the New Bothell Somerfeld Church, come, hold my hand, and we're going to walk together as a team, and we're going to walk right into everlasting life with God. I can't do that. If I want to take all of you and expect to go through a door that fits us all at one time, I want to warn you, we're going to hell. Because that gate is wide that we can all fit through. But if I want eternal life with Jesus Christ, I have to do that myself. I have to personally go to Jesus, accept him. And when I get to that gate, it is narrow, and so narrow that only I or only you, one person at a time, can go through that door. It's a personal relationship. I cannot do that for you as a group. It's a personal relationship, each one has to make that choice themselves. And when you reach that door, my wish is that you will find that that door is going to be narrow. And there will be one there, that's Jesus. And you will have found yourself walking on that narrow road, which he speaks about in Matthew chapter 7, so you may obtain eternal life, as one of the questions we talked about. Are you on the narrow road? If you're on the narrow road, you will come to that gate. And my wish and prayer is that Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he will open it up and allow you in the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for blessing us this morning with peace and love. I pray, Lord, that as we continue our life, that we all realize and fully understand, and I believe many of us do, but I want everybody to know, Lord, that we fully need to understand it is our own personal decision whether we want your Son as our Savior, and if we don't, Lord, we are on the wide road. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit may nudge everyone that has not made that decision, but would find themselves independently walking by themselves down that narrow road and finding Jesus Christ. And as he knocks, he will open the door. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this message to your will and multiply it to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anything else that we have in our heart that we'd like to pray for, I would like to give you an opportunity, and so would let us kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Good morning. I just want to announce the announcement that the Brotherhood meeting has been postponed until November 11th. At first, it was decided we would have it on May 1st, but because of the restrictions are still there, so for now it has been postponed till November 11th. So just so that you know. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I want to also say to the Sunday school, this would involve everybody as far as that goes, but Dora and I received a bouquet of flowers from you as a Sunday school, and we heartily thank you for your thoughtfulness, as yesterday was the day we laid my dad's body to rest as Dad passed away, and it was your thoughtfulness as you gave that, and we want to heartily thank you for that. May God bless you for that. So I want to close with the benediction that we find in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you all for coming. You've blessed me. I hope we could be a blessing to each other. Maybe we go out and be a blessing for others. You are dismissed. Thank you.